This hour, as always, it is the business of Greater Newport with the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce and our chamber host today, the Executive Director of the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Donovan Boyle. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Bruce?
I'm good. How was your fourth?
Oh, it was wonderful. Good. Thank you. How about you?
Oh, excellent, excellent. A little damper on the edges, but we did what we could, and we kept the celebration going into an extra day. Did you do that?
Yes, given that I am on vacation.
So you're going for
I'm still celebrating.
Yeah, good for you. Well, lots going on.
That's right.
And we've got a great discussion today. Boy, talk about the celebration going on here in Rhode Island. I mean, we continue to be Hollywood East, and our guest later in the hour is going to talk about that. Always great to talk to Steven Feinberg of the Film Office. I keep wanting to call it the Film Commission, but it's an office.
His own official office, correct.
Right, yeah. The office. So
that's right.
Steve's always great to talk to, and always so many exciting things. So we may have a scoop today, Aaron. You never know, right? And FM 101.1, AM 1540, WADK, and we are here. It is the business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. Our chamber host is Director Aaron Donovan Boyle, and we're going to have some fun here, Aaron. With our guest, go ahead.
We are. I'm really excited that we're meeting again with Steven Feinberg, the Executive Director of the Rhode Island Film and TV Office. Welcome, Steven. We appreciate you joining us on this holiday week.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with these two VIPs. I hold you both in high esteem, so it's my pleasure.
Well, back at you. Thank you very much. You're very, very kind, and we're glad to be together. And, I mean, what a positive thing to talk about. So exciting.
It really is. So let's start the segment with talking about the successful legislative session that you've just been able to have.
Well, it's been it was pretty nutty this year. While we had production Good Burger 2 going on, so we also had the legislative session. We pretty much stayed at the same pace we had the year before. Last year, the legislature and the governor signed for both the year 2023, the calendar year 2023, and the calendar year 2024 allows us to offer up to $40 million of tax credits for the year. We had hoped to extend that, but that didn't happen, but we stayed the same for 2024. On a personal note, one of the things that I personally needed was for the last 20 years, 19 years, it's essentially been myself, a full-time assistant and a part-timer. And because I was pulling like 60, 65 hour weeks, which is just too much for any human being, I had requested that one of my part-timers become a full-timer. And I'm very grateful that the General Assembly did turn my part-timer into a full-timer, and that position starts this past week, July 1st. So,
That's great.
For me, on a personal note, as I said to the governor, the speaker, and Senate president, I said, God willing, you added a couple of years to my life.
So. Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, to think that the entire Rhode Island Film and TV Office is made up of only three individuals, one of them being part-time, as you know, alongside with all of the successes and economic impact that office and the film tax credits have brought to the state of Rhode Island, is kind of crazy that you're able to do it with only three people. So kudos to you for being able to do it this long, and to your staff. But I'm glad that at least you'll have some more hours given.
Yeah, because, you know, not only are we doing the actual production, right, keeping an eye on the production and everything that goes along with that, and dealing with the studios and all, but then you also have, folks that want to be extras. And so we get, hit on that. You have people that want to do the sets. You want to take care of the crew. Then you have media. You've got government stuff. And then you're also dealing, during the legislative session, presentations of all kinds. And as I said, I'm supposed to work 35 hours and I work about, it gets to be like 60, and it's just not balanced, but, right. But I'm grateful because I get to do what I love and in a place I love, but yeah.
Well, and we're grateful that you're here to do it and that you're able to stay with it and stick with it. So let's talk about some of some exciting projects that may be on the brink.
Well, I'll tell you this. We you know, obviously you guys know about, we had Hocus Pocus 2, which everyone was clamoring about. And as I would tell people, I said, they said it's Salem, but we really know it's Rhode Island. And that actually had the most views for any original streaming motion picture in the world. So that was big to do. As a result, Disney engaged the writer in this past December to look to create a sequel, a Hocus Pocus 3. It kind of, I guess it was kind of slipped out or announced by one of the Disney executives in May. But I've been knowing that this is going, a potential film that's going to happen. And they think the earliest it will start filming would be at the winter of 2024. And Rhode Island's at the table. We don't have it for sure, but we're at the table. Then we just wrapped up about a week and a half ago, Good Burger 2 with Kenan Thompson and Kel. And
listen to you tossing those names around.
Yeah. And that's with that was with the first time we worked with Nickelodeon and Paramount. That was a fun project. And that came pretty quickly because there was a potential Directors Guild strike, which has been thwarted. But right now there's a Writers Guild strike and a potential Screen Actors Guild strike that could start as far as soon as next week. So we moved very quickly to get that here in Rhode Island and put all of our people to work. And we just wrapped that. And those guys were just so much fun. And there's some cameos that I can't share yet, but a really good time. That movie is supposed to come out at the end of the year. And we will are hoping to have a screening.
Wow.
We also have The Gilded Age season 2. For those of you who know about HBO's the creator of Downton Abbey, Julian Fellowes, Lord Julian Fellowes created.
Well, here's a 6 degrees of Steven Feinberg because Julian Fellowes has been on WADK. So now you've got that going on. We are
which is nice.
We are well acquainted with Julian Fellowes and the Gilded Age around here. That has become a force of nature. I mean, it is, at least anecdotally, people have been booking vacations and stays here this summer based on seeing those locations. I mean, the mansions have always been a draw, but now it's opened it up to an even greater constituency. It's really quite something.
And if I can add, there are now Gilded Age packages that are being marketed.
Yes.
For certain destination type dinners, experiences, and so forth. So it's been a huge economic driver.
Yeah. And this was, to me, when I started, when I got offered the position, the biggest idea I had was, you know, those Newport mansions, what jewels they are. And I hope that one day we would be able to capture a show that really promoted the mansions on an international level. Maybe a Steven Spielberg film or something to that nature. But then to have, and this was a 10-year process, but to have Julian and HBO, which pours a lot of money into a project, and for Julian, authenticity is so important. So just to give you an example, when we were filming at the Newport Tennis Hall of Fame, that they had to make sure, the production designer and art director made sure that the netting for the tennis court was indicative of that time period.
Sure.
So
no polyester.
But that that's something that an audience member probably won't even notice, but it was important to the production. So they spent, just as an example, The Gilded Age season one, that was 1,200 local jobs. It was 500 Rhode Island vendors. And if you recall, during the season one, we were doing that during the middle of COVID when everything was shut down. And just as an example, the for the last scene in the first season, and I was very choked up to see this, but they had all these extras doing this dance sequence. Well, those were all local Rhode Islanders extras who normally would have gone home in their own beds, but because of COVID, they all had to be quarantined from any family members, etc. So it was, they were in hotel rooms, Newport hotel rooms, for 5 nights. So that was 100 people for 5 nights. That's 500 rooms. And then obviously all being fed, etc. So it had an impact. And so now season two, which we wrapped up, that is, I believe, going to premiere in October, end of September, early October. We don't have the date yet. Hopefully we'll have that next month, but we're really looking forward to that. And as I said, that was 1,200 local jobs, 500 vendors. Hocus Pocus 2 had 2,500 extras, 250 local vendors, and 250 full-time local crew. So the impact is great. And
really
we had a study. I just want to say real quick, Aaron, that you had initiated a study with the Newport Chamber with Industrial Economics, and they found for every $1 we give in a tax credit returns $5.44 of economic activity that would not have been there. And it's just, and that's for the production itself, not to mention what you guys have been talking about with the Gilded Age tourism, you know, that whole new.
Wow. So that isn't, that whole Gilded Age phenomenon then does not come under the $5 for every dollar. That's in addition to that.
Correct.
That's right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. And
very impressive.
You know, I think there was a front page story in the Providence Journal just this past Sunday about all of the season two Gilded Age stuff. And I know, that the governor had met with, I believe it was some ambassador of England, and he had mentioned to me that he said, "Oh, your name came up." I said, "My name?" I said, "I hope it was okay." he said that they had met and talked about how important the Gilded Age show was to them on a global level in tourism in England for some reason. And that just made, you know, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear, that that it resonates internationally as well.
Really, right? Amazing. That is really just so phenomenal and so great for people who are within sound of our voice, Stephen Feinberg, to be able to understand that all of this is real and it is tangible. It sometimes gets a little lost on those who make their home in not only in Newport, but on the island and in the state year to year. I did want to ask one quick question, just no one's comparing, but the difference, was there a difference in Hocus Pocus where you mentioned those jobs and those dollars and so forth? That was that more on a broad basis? In other words, it wasn't all in one community as Gilded Age was in Newport, correct? Or did one town benefit more from Hocus Pocus as Newport benefits and continues to benefit from the Gilded Age?
Bruce, that's a really good point. So Hocus Pocus 2, we had built a Salem 1600s village in Lincoln. There was the Cranston Street Armory was used to create a forest for the Sanderson sisters. It was also the basement of the magic shop. Then and then there was filming in Providence. There was filming in East Providence. There was a sequence that took place at a cemetery. And one of the things that one of the senators from East Providence said to me during my testimony this past legislative session, he said, "There's something you don't talk about." And I said, "What's that?" And he brought this to my attention, made me feel like $1 million. He said, "You don't talk about the building of the community." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, when filming was happening in East Providence, neighbors who had never met each other all congregated to watch the filming, and it created this sense of neighborhood. And I didn't even think of that. So he said my neighbors never would have met each other if they hadn't come to watch the filming, and it created a universality for the neighborhood. And
so
I thought that was really,
yeah. That's great. We have a few more minutes with you. It's the business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. We do it every Thursday in this hour. Erin Donovan Boyle, let us reintroduce our guest and get back to it.
We're joined by Stephen Feinberg, the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and TV Office and the master negotiator who puts Rhode Island at the table with all of these amazing corporations who are looking to do different various productions throughout the country. And Rhode Island is at the table because of Stephen Feinberg. So, Stephen, tell us again. We're talking a little bit about the impact of Hocus Pocus 2 and how the whole state really benefited from the production that took place here in Rhode Island, not just Newport.
Thanks, Erin. Yeah, we as I mentioned, we were filming in Lincoln and we were filming in East Providence and filming in Providence. But in addition, we created the Magic Shop was in a warehouse in North Kingston. And we even had some kids from Providence. We had a yellow school bus take them onto the set of the Magic Shop, these elementary kids, and they got to hear from the production designer. And then we also filmed, as you guys are quite aware, right there in the heart of Newport. There was the Sanderson sisters were flying around. There was a whole carnival setting, and Blondie's music was blaring, and it was a lot of fun. It was pretty cold, I remember, on those nights, and I would say to the director, "We're making a movie. Aren't you having fun?" And you could just see them bristling in the cold, but we had a lot of fun. So yeah, Hocus Pocus was pretty spread out, and even Good Burger 2 that we just did, that was in Providence, but it was also in Warwick and other parts, and we tried to spread it out. And you know, we had a TV show called Nosferatu for AMC.
Yes.
And that, out of the 39 cities and towns, they used 37 of them.
Really?
Yeah, Block Island was one that they didn't use, and I believe Richmond. But otherwise, they used the entire state.
How about that? Hey, was there a greater ambassador than Kenan Thompson? I mean, he was everywhere while the filming was going on.
I said that exactly to him. I said, I said, thank you for being such a great ambassador. He went to the Newport Police Department and brought donuts. Right. He went around. He went to Providence. He had he went to the Hot Wiener places, New York System and Wiener Man, and he is a plus. And actually, we're in conversations, and we were before we started Good Burger, but we're in conversations to hopefully do a series of films with Kenan.
How about that?
Kel.
How about that? Now, something like that, Stephen Feinberg, is that, I mean, it would seem to me it either comes naturally or it doesn't. I mean, Jay Leno is great for doing that, and he's out and about and he loves it, but some of the other folks do not, and it is what it is. But is there a way to encourage that? Is there a way that that can be brought about, or do you lose the spontaneity and that whole it happens organically aspect of what Kenan Thompson did?
Well, you know what I found is everybody is different. Some people are will put in the extra effort, so to speak, to make sure that they send out a positive vibe in the community, which we really appreciate. And like for example, when they were filming, we recreated the Good Burger restaurant that was a former Friendly's on Mineral Spring Avenue,
yes.
North Providence. And I don't think I mentioned North Providence for Good Burger too. That was the heart of it. But there's a lot of people that were standing around on, you know, in areas that were coned off, watching the filming, trying to get glimpses. And then at the end of the day, Kenan and Kel would come over and engage them. And that was really nice. I also want to add that we had a couple of students that I had met at the Black Film Festival, Rhode Island Black Film Festival, earlier in the year. And as I was talking to these kids, and they were in high school, I asked them, you know, what do they want to do? And one of the kids said he wanted to be an actor. Another one said he wanted to be a tailor. And I said to him, he was in clothing. He wants to do clothing. I said, you know, there's a costume department, wardrobe department. And there were like 20 kids. But I left. I said to my assistant, I said, I bet you we're going to get a call. Because I tried to encourage them to call the office. I said, I bet you two of them are going to call. Sure enough, two of them did call. The one boy who wanted to be an actor, not only was he an extra on Good Burger 2, he also was being given an acting class by the casting director.
Wow.
And then the other boy, Milkman, I hooked him up with the costume supervisor, wardrobe department, and he was able to be a production assistant for the wardrobe department for on Good Burger. I don't know how many days he worked, but just to have him exposed to it and then have a mentor. And that was the thing I wanted, that he would get a mentor, because the costume supervisor and designer, they were local. So those kinds of things aren't necessarily promoted, but to me, they're so important. And I guess because my dad was a sixth grade teacher, but you know, that kind of trying to spread it out is a great thing.
Phenomenal. Definitely. We have about a minute and a half left. I wanted to ask Stephen, other states must be coming to you and saying, hey, what's your secret? How are you doing this? I mean, I spent a lot of time in Vermont, and they would give various body parts to have what you have built up and what is happening here in Rhode Island. I mean, they're jumping up and down because they had Antiques Roadshow, and they're filming the series Wednesday up there because one of the actors lives in one of the small towns. But I mean, that is it. Do you have people from your counterparts from other states, or people from other states who want to become your counterparts seeking you out?
Yes, actually, I testified. You mentioned Vermont. I testified in front of the folks of Vermont. They asked me about creating a film commission and the importance of it, et cetera. And I told them I'd be more than helpful to help them, establish Vermont. I said, or well, I would be also happy that Rhode Island would secure Vermont as part of our ocean state.
That's all. Yeah, we'll just annex it. That's
right. That's what I said. I said I'm happy that Rhode Island will annex Vermont if you'd like us to.
There we go. We have just a couple of seconds there on the radio, and then we'll continue on podcast, Stephen. But how can we keep up with what is going on here in Hollywood East?
Well, we are. As a matter of fact, next week I've got an Academy Award director coming into town. We're hoping to secure a film that we've been working on. I think everybody will be excited about the idea that we're trying to bring this new production to Rhode Island in the next couple of weeks that would prep this summer, start filming in September, all the way to Christmas. And that's next on the agenda, and hopefully you guys will hear about it first in your audience.
Fantastic. That's wonderful.
Well, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today. Always exciting to have you on and to talk about what is going on here. And we really appreciate your time, especially on vacation.
And thank you for your friendship, your support, and for all the work you do to help promote the state of Rhode Island, our beautiful ocean state. And you guys rock. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Stephen Feinberg, Rhode Island Film Office, here in the business of Greater Newport. Aaron Donovan Boyle, thank you as always.
Thank you, Bruce, and thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right, friends, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. We finished the last minute or so on podcast, but I'll send you the link to the whole thing. And it was great. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful time.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. Bye.
Bye, Aaron.